Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? So, what is the scariest thing that you could be asked to do? When they do surveys of these and they give you a whole bunch of options, of like rate them in order of fear, number one on the list almost every time is public speaking, which is funny because that ranks higher in people's minds. That's scarier than dying. Big hairy spiders tends to be high on the list too, but public speaking usually is number one. And I would suggest that for many Christians, doing what Philip did here in Acts chapter 8 is probably pretty high on the list. Talking directly with someone about Jesus. The reality is, for many Christians, that would be terrifying. I hope it can become less so, but just acknowledging the reality that for many Christians, this is scary. And so today we're going to look at Acts chapter 8 and see the way God uses Philip to speak to someone about Jesus and how God transforms this man's life through the experience. So in your bulletins, you have Acts chapter 8. Would you turn back there so we can look at it together? Acts chapter 8, it was the first reading today. Acts 8, beginning at verse 26. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, and Philip rose up and went. God called, and Philip goes. The Lord tells Philip to do something. Doesn't tell him why or what's going to happen as a result. Doesn't tell him what to bring or what he's going to find there, but tells him to go do something. And Philip obeys the voice of God, obeys the call of God, and he rose up and went. Last week, on what we celebrate as Good Shepherd Sunday, last week we heard from John chapter 10. We heard Jesus say, "My sheep, my people, my sheep know my voice." So Philip was close enough to Jesus, following Jesus closely enough that he knew God's voice when he heard it. And he obeyed the voice of God. I heard a little while ago at one of our Anglican church gatherings, a couple share about an experience that they had. This couple, they've been doing this for years, so I know this is a lot, but this couple had an agreement where each one of them would talk about Jesus to someone five different times during each day. That was their commitment as a couple. I know that sounds a lot if this is something that's new, but for them, this is a commitment that they'd had and had kind of worked up to. And so they were driving home one night late after something, 10:30 at night, something like that, and they were tired, and they were ready to go home, and they had to stop for gas, and they both knew that the husband had only talked to four people about Jesus that day. And so as they pull in and they get gas, the wife, very helpfully, notices a man standing next to the doors at the gas station and leans over to the husband and says, "There's number five, honey. Look, I'm exhausted. It's late. It's dark. He doesn't want to hear from me. I'm going home." So he gets back in the car, starts driving away. "Okay, honey." And as they get out to the main road, he stops, does the U-turn, and starts coming back and drives right back into the gas station, pulls right up, headlights on, right in front of the guy, and stops. And they didn't always use Christian tracts, you know, a little booklet about Jesus. Didn't always use that, but they did find that helpful sometimes, so he had some of those. And so he reached into the glove compartment, pulled one out, walked up to the guy, and said something like, "I doubt you want to read this, but in case you do, here, it's about Jesus." Apparently that counted in his mind. And he turned around and starts walking back to the car. And he hears behind him the man call out, "Hey, wait." And then he said, "I have been waiting here all day long, I had a dream that someone would meet me here and tell me something I need to hear. And so this extremely tired and reluctant evangelist told this Muslim man about Jesus and prayed with him and helped him come to know Jesus and connect him with a local church, all in the gas parking lot. The Lord said to Philip, and Philip rose up and went, and God did something life-changing. Will you pray each morning, Lord, send me to someone today? Connect it with something you do every morning so you don't forget. I mean, hopefully you're praying and reading the Bible. Oftentimes that's in the morning. But you can also connect it with something mundane, like every time you brush your teeth in the morning. Pray that God would show you where and to whom and how you might point someone to Jesus. And while smiling at the cashier at the grocery store is nice, that is not what I mean. Lord, would you send me to someone today? And when you show me that person, would you give me the courage to go? God called Philip, and he rose up and went. Verse 27. And he rose up and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. An Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official. There's a handful of reasons right there why Philip might not feel comfortable talking with this man. He's not from around here. He's a royal court official, so he and Philip are not social equals. He's a eunuch, which was common in the ancient world to be done to court officials. And in Jewish culture, in Philip's culture, because of this man's castration, his surgically altered body, he would have automatically been excluded from elements of Jewish life. And now in this man's case, the alteration was likely violent and against his will, but it still would have automatically excluded him from the culture in certain ways. But the message of the gospel and the love of Jesus was for him too. And the fact is that we live in a society when people are surgically altering their bodies. And as Christians, we need to acknowledge that, yes, God's plan for human flourishing is for us to find our identity in him, period. And that does mean that we should learn to accept the bodies that he has given us, and his plan for what is best does involve the specific gendered body that he's given us, and changing that is not wise. But we live in a world in which people do. And while we don't need to accept and support that, we believe that God's intention for humanity is that all who turn to him in faith are welcomed by Jesus. All who turn to Jesus in faith are welcomed by Jesus. And that was radical at that moment. And actually, throughout this passage, if you read it, Ethiopian is used one time. The fact that he's a eunuch is how he's identified all the others. The fact that someone who would have been excluded from society was welcomed in is essential to what God is doing here. Philip shares the good news of Jesus with this man, and his life is changed. God sent Philip out, Philip went, and this man's life will never be the same. Verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip up to come and sit with him. Both Philip made himself available and the Ethiopian was willing and eager for guidance. both Philip makes himself available and this man wanted guidance and help. Philip made himself available. The Spirit said, go closer to that chariot. He didn't tell him why. He just said, go closer to that chariot. And so Philip runs right over. And notice, Philip could have said, I can't go over there. I don't know them. He doesn't want me there. A Christian Jew like me can't just approach a foreign chariot. That's not how it works around here. People will look at me funny. What if they don't want to listen to what I have to say? What if they tell me to go away? But when he obeys God's leading, he finds that the man is eager for guidance in his questions because he's wrestling with questions. This prophet doesn't make sense. Life doesn't make sense. Religion doesn't make sense. This scroll doesn't make sense. And Philip is there to help. In love, kindly, ready, and able to help point people to Jesus. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Philip was ready and able to help point this man to Jesus. And it says that he opened his mouth. That's the biblical writer's way of indicating the importance of what is being said. And of course, you have to open your mouth in order to say anything. So in a sense, this is redundant, saying he opened his mouth and said. It's a way to indicate the importance of what he said. And it is also an essential part of the process of sharing the gospel. He opened his mouth. Sharing the good news of Jesus involves opening your mouth. Again, smiling at the cashier at the grocery store is great. That's not evangelism. That's being nice. Do that, but that's not the same thing. Cutting your neighbor's lawn is kind, but it's not in itself evangelism. It might open the door for conversation, but until we actually verbally, intentionally tell people about what Jesus has done, then we're not fully, at least, sharing the good news of Jesus. Philip opened his mouth. Well, that's fine for him. He's in the Bible. I'm not. I'm shy. I wouldn't know what to say. No one in my life wants to hear it. I'm not an evangelist like he is. Do you remember who Philip is? There's an apostle with the same name, not the same guy. Philip was one of the administrators. He was one of the deacons appointed two chapters earlier to handle the distribution of food in Acts chapter 6. He was responsible essentially for the ancient world's version of keeping the spreadsheet to make sure the right people got the right amount of food. An administrator, not a bishop or a church planter or a seminary-educated preacher, but an administrator becomes an evangelist. Because when God called, he went. When God directed, he opened his mouth and he told of the goodness of Jesus, of his death and resurrection and the new life that we can have in him. And if we stop to think about it, someone, if this has happened for you yet, someone opened their mouth and spoke to you. Maybe an administrator, or a parent, or a professor, or a graphic designer, or a hairstylist, or a realtor, or a pastor opened their mouth, maybe very nervous about it, and spoke to you and invited you to know Jesus, just like Philip did. Well, fine, but I wouldn't know what to say. If I did go, as Jesus apparently says, if I did go and I did open my mouth, I wouldn't know what to say. Two things. One, you never know until it happens. Maybe they'll ask you exactly the question, or you'll see that they're dealing with exactly the issue, the situation that you've been wrestling with, and are totally prepared to talk about it. And you do know how to point them to Jesus, and you'll never know unless it happens. And also, you can just try this. You know, that's a really great question or comment or thought. That's a really great comment. We talk about things like this at my church. I would love for you to come join me. You could do that. That's number one. You never know until it happens. But number two, Philip knew what to say because he had been filled with the Holy Spirit, was being guided by the Holy Spirit, and he knew how to help with the scriptures because he knew the scriptures. You and I need to read, learn, study, listen to sermons, go to Bible classes, learn and listen so that our lives can be changed and so that we can be better prepared when we have the opportunity. Philip opened his mouth and spoke of Jesus, and we can too. Verse 39. After the man puts his faith in Jesus and he's baptized, verse 39. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. This man went away rejoicing. Philip moved on to what God called him to next. But this man hears the message of God and is expected, and a response is expected. Faith and baptism. And he needs to accept the message of salvation. He needs to accept the person of Jesus, put his trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and salvation and eternal life. And when he has done that truly and honestly, he needs to be baptized. At the culmination of this event, who knows how long it was? It could have been the same afternoon. It could have been days later. It doesn't say. The Ethiopian's trip home was really long. But when he has received Jesus in faith and been baptized into God's family, he then continues on his way rejoicing, filled with joy because of God's work in his life. And so I ask you, what about you? This Ethiopian man was asking hard questions and had an open heart before God, ready to hear and change and respond. He was willing to face and address his deep questions. He was eager to hear and respond. What about you? I mean, do you have questions that you need to actually wrestle with, not push down and ignore, but also not proudly assuming that no one could possibly answer our questions because we're the ones that have them, or thinking that we know it all already, but honestly facing our big questions? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you personally, consciously, intentionally said yes to Jesus, and that means no to everything else? Accepted him as true, believed that he died and rose again, and turned yourself over to him to live his way, to follow him and believe that he himself is Lord and Savior. Have you been baptized? We have a baptism class beginning here next month. And if you'd like to talk more, we would love to talk with you about that. But this precious Ethiopian man heard the message of Jesus. He responded in faith and was baptized in his name, and we must do the same. To hear the voice of God, hear the word of God, and respond in faith and baptism. God called Philip to do something. And without even a complete explanation, Philip obeys and goes. God shows Philip an individual man, someone who, for a host of reasons, Philip might prefer not to approach, and tells him to go there. And Philip obeys. And God gives Philip the opportunity to share the best news in history with this man, that Jesus is alive and ready to welcome him with his grace. And this man believes and is baptized and experienced new life in Jesus and continues on his way home rejoicing because of what Jesus has done in him. Friend, I would suggest that there are people like that who need Jesus in all sorts of areas in life, around us all the time. People who are near to us, but far from Jesus in whatever way that means. They may be foreign to us, or they may be just like us. They may be ones that we're not sure how to talk to, or they may be our own family members. They may be neat and tidy on the outside, or they may be vividly displaying a life of rebellion against God. But if we will listen to the call of God, and we will obey when He calls, He can use us in His transforming work in their lives. You may be an administrator or a computer coder or a realtor or a stay-at-home mom, but God can send those who are willing to open their mouths and share the good news, the goodness, and the love of Jesus with lost people. And when we pray that He will send us, and when we hear His voice and obey, we will see lives changed by the power of God. So as His people, may we always be ready and willing to go, to welcome, to speak, and to invite a response to Jesus. Jesus who died and rose again, who is alive now and forever. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Amen.